and welcome to the New Creation Lutheran Church Faith and Life Podcast. We're a welcoming faith community in San Jose, California, grounded in the love of God and committed to living that love in the world. We offer two kinds of episodes each week. First, you'll hear recordings of our Sunday worship services. So whether you're traveling, at home, or exploring our community for the first time, you can join us in worship. Second, we share episodes inspired by our blog, where we reflect on scripture, explore how faith speaks to today's world, and talk about what it means to follow Jesus in daily life. While we work out the technical details of our production process, you'll hear an AI voice reading some of our episodes. We're doing this so we can share content with you right away, and we'll transition to live voices as our setup develops. Thanks for listening. We're glad you're here.
Our first reading is from the 8th chapter of Proverbs. God created me at the work's beginning, the first act of long ago. Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth.
When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When the Creator had not yet made earth and fields or the world's first bits of soil.
When the heavens were established, I was there. When God drew a circle on the face of the deep, made firm the skies above, and established the fountains of the deep.
When the sea's limits were assigned and the Creator marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside God, like a master worker, a daily delight, rejoicing in the inhabited world and delighting in the human race.
Our second reading is from Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens and in the heights. Praise the Lord with all the hosts of angels.
Praise the Lord, sun and moon, and all you shining stars. Praise the Lord, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for they were created at God's command, establishing them forever and fixing their bounds, which cannot be passed.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind, fulfilling God's command. Mountains, all hills, fruit trees, and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds.
Rulers of the earth and all peoples, all the people alike, old and young together, let them praise the name of the Lord, for the Creator's name alone is exalted, with a glory above earth and heaven. Praise the Lord.
Our final reading this morning is the good news reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Then the Jews began to complain about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?"
Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the God who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day.
It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from Holy Creator comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Creator except the one who is from God. That person has seen the Creator.
Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die.
I am the living bread that came down from heaven, and whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh.
Amen.
The good news. I have lived my entire life in the state of California. I love living in California. But one of the things about living in California, at least living in most of California, maybe not all of it, is that we just don't really have much weather. I don't know if you've really realized that. Our seasons are divided by warm and nice, hot but nice, crisp but nice, and then fire weather, which is just windy and hot. And we wish it wasn't so windy. And then occasionally, and I kind of always forget this one, and then we have earthquake weather, which is sort of hot and then sort of cold. And so then you have earthquake weather. And that's the weather we have in California. But I luckily have traveled. I have not just sat here in California, but I wouldn't complain if the only place I ever traveled was all over and up and down the state of California, because this is a huge state, by the way, and we have a lot of interesting things to do. But I have been out and about, and in fact, our family always would gather at Yellowstone National Park for a week or two during the summer as I was in my teen and early adult years. And there's something about leaving the state and learning about different parts of the country. And so here we would be in this beautiful, I mean, it is gorgeous. Yellowstone is stunning. But one of the things that happens there is they do have storms. Summer storms. Anybody ever experienced summer storms somewhere other than, I got one, I got two, I got a couple people. It's rare here. Not so rare other places. And I would remember my grandfather would all of a sudden say, like, he'd just go, there's a storm coming. And you're like, it's blue skies, sunshine, we're out kayaking. And he'd look and he'd smell. And then he'd say, you have about 20 minutes. It's time to get the kayaks back onto the beach. And I was like, there's not a cloud in the sky. And so we'd paddle our canoes back to the beach and we'd get out and you'd start to slowly see it. But for my grandfather, he smelled it and he knew. My grandfather grew up in Canada and apparently there's weather there. And so we watch it come in. Now, depending on where you are, depends on how quickly my grandfather moves you. So out on the kayaks, he wants us off the water, get off the water. That's the first part for him. Now, gather your stuff because you want to make sure your stuff stays dry and get yourself back up to the, you know, we were near the home. So get back up to the house. We were like, okay. Occasionally, though, we wouldn't be in kayaks and near our home, and we would be out doing hiking. Well, that's a different change. And now my grandfather says, go find a big tree and go stand underneath it. And we're like, it's just water. I got a rain jacket on. My grandfather goes, go find a big tree and go get underneath it. And you're like, okay. And then the hail starts. Before rain, there's a couple drops. And then you get this kind of squishy hail. You know, the kind that's kind of more like snowish. And it kind of lands and kind of goes splat. And you go, oh, that's not so bad. I could be roaming around in that. I don't know. Whatever. And then it starts to freeze. And now they're like pebbles falling from the sky. And you're like, ooh, pebbles from the sky. But the pebbles get harder and they get bigger. And then they're like marble size. Then they're like the size of a quarter. And now you're hugging that tree. And you're also thinking, lightning, lightning, lightning. Weather is a crazy thing anywhere but here. And the storms come and they pass so quickly. It's like you're hugging that tree and it's just hailing everywhere and there's thunder. And then poof, their sun's back out and you're like, all right, get out to the lake, you know, it's no big deal. We're going to go hit those kayaks and let's finish that hike. And you're like, is there another one coming? And he goes, probably. But it's fine, we'll let you know when it happens. And we're like, okay, thanks, Grandpa. And it's sometimes just so very scary. And then I go back to my safe space in California where it's warm and sometimes chilly. And the nighttime, and you get a breeze. But if you grew up in the San Fernando Valley, there was never a breeze until, like, I don't know, December? I think we got breezes. Or they were called Santa Ana winds. It's a little different. But you have to be from there to understand all that. And I'll be honest, I never complain about living in California. I tell people all the time I live in the best state ever. But here's the thing about storms. They are ever-present. They are ever-present. And they are in our lives in which we are not able to control them. Have you ever noticed? You cannot control the weather. That storm was going to come, whether I wanted to get out of the water and I wanted to drag my kayak back up to the house or not. It was going to come. I cannot change that storm was coming. I cannot change that there is going to be snow in the hills when I'm driving to go skiing up in Tahoe. I cannot control anything about the weather, and neither can any of you, as far as I know. But if you can, please let us know. That would be really great information to have. In fact, let's think about this. Science is pretty amazing, and science is completely incapable of figuring out how to control the weather. They're lucky enough they can figure out they've got like things now. They can tell you it's coming. Hey, guess what? Big tornado somewhere out there might hit your town, and you might get a 5-minute warning to get somewhere safe. We have storm trackers everywhere checking to see what's happening, but nobody can change the fact that storm is going to come. And what's interesting is the number of storms that we have now, the grandiose size of the storms that come our way now are bigger and longer and stronger and harder than they've ever been before. And the truth of the matter, the only thing science knows now to control them is for us to change our own behaviors. For us to change our ways. So isn't it funny that maybe we do have more control in this than we thought? Maybe we do have a little bit of control as to whether or not our environment becomes a holy terror. Maybe we do have a little bit of control into figuring out how we can make some changes in which those things that we do, we can change and reverse. It is a fact that some of the ozone that has been depleted has regrown itself. It is a fact. It's not the whole thing, but it has a slow process. Things will grow again. Things can change, but it takes change of our behaviors to make that happen. But the thing about weather and storms and causation is that storms are going to be a part of our life. Even if we were to change our behaviors, even if we get back to making sure we're not abusing our own environment, storms are storms. They've always been around. This is not new. And there's other kinds of storms that seem to follow us into places and spaces that we cannot get rid of and we cannot avoid. So how many of us would say in the last 10 years, our lives have gotten easier, less chaotic, and more simple? In the last 10 years. Anybody? Becky says, in some ways, maybe. You're thinking, yeah? You're like, yes. It's an interesting question to ask because in the last 10 years, we've had inventions of all kinds of crazy things that are actually meant in some form or another to slow down our lives and to make things simpler. But I find that all it does is add more things into my day-to-day life instead of less things. I feel that the addition of all these amazing ways that are supposed to get better, we have smartphones, smart cars, smart vacuums, smart everything. Everything is so smart now. And yet, I don't feel like I'm any smarter. And I don't feel like it's made my life really all that much more simple. Because all I notice is that there's an expectation I should be able to do more. Right. I should be able to do more. Like the invention of the, and don't get me wrong, because I love my washing machine and I love my job. And I want to be really clear before I say anything else. And I don't just mean my job here. I love all my jobs that I've ever had. I love the fact that I get to go to work and I get to participate in the world around me. But the invention of the washing machine is what made it so that women could go back to the workforce or just be in the workforce. But it didn't make our lives any easier and it didn't make our lives any less stressful by being in the workforce because we had a washing machine. We just found more ways of things to do and be more busy. You thank you. Becky, you don't want to go down and just be on the side of the rock cleaning your laundry. I am grateful for technology. I truly, truly am. I have no desire to go backwards. I'm not one of those people. I I will use all of it. But what I know is that my life hasn't significantly gotten better, per se, or easier. Maybe that's the word. My life has gotten better, but it hasn't gotten any easier. I should be careful about the words I choose. Because there are still things that are going to happen, even though I can get an Amazon delivery tomorrow morning at 4 a.m. for that thing that I didn't have at, 6 p.m. And I'm like, oh, you know what I really wish I had? Oh, look, Amazon will deliver it between 4 and 7 tomorrow morning. That'd be awesome. That'll make my life better. Not really going to make my life better. In fact, I'm still stressed. We're still fragile. And we're still lonely people living within this space of our time together. And when I say that, I mean, our time together, whatever that is. Jesus says to us, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I wonder if we believe this to be true. Do we actually believe that Jesus will give us rest? Rest for our souls. Do we believe that that is something that can happen for each and every one of us? Well, I for one do. I'll just put it right there. I for one do. I do because I rely on this every single day. Every single day, I could not get through so many days if I were not able to hold this belief to be true and hold it sacred in my heart. In fact, I believe many of you in this space, all of you maybe in this space, also believe it to be true, whatever the space is that you're in. And the reason I know this about you and I feel this about you is because you're here and you want to hear more about what Jesus has for you. One of my favorite days of the week, and you're all thinking, is today is Sunday, right? Yes, but one of my favorite days of the week is Friday. And I know you're all, yeah, TJIF, thank God it's Friday. And yes, it might be the possibility of a swirl later in the evening. That might be true too. But actually, it's Bible study. Every Friday, we have Bible study. It's a small few who gather, but when we do, it's one of the most meaningful days of my week. We talk about, one, our lives, and we share the things that are happening in our lives, and we're kind of dissect what's happening, and that's that place of relationship. And two, we study God's word together. We study the word, we go deep, and we contemplate what it means today when we hear God's word. Like, we can talk about, like, oh, I was watching the news, and that just resonated with me, like, what I watched on the news and what was happening during this time and how things just, they don't change all the time, that people don't always change. Or how can we take that reading and then remind ourselves of how amazing it is to have a God who loves us so much that would be willing to do the things that Christ did to come into this place and this space to be with us. Fridays stretch me, and then they grow me, and then they spark me, and they keep me grounded. Bible study does that. And I love those opportunities of being there and in the Word and with others who want to be in the Word with me and to challenge me and ask me questions that, as a pastor, I often go, I don't know. I'm not sure. And sometimes I get to go, oh, I know the answer to that. That one I know. I remember reading about that when I was going through seminary. I know the answer to that. These are the things that we do and the ways of which we grow and the way that we remind ourselves we're just never alone. We're just never alone. And sometimes, even in a room filled with people, we can feel that way. But Christ's presence goes with you everywhere and all times. We were never created to be alone. We were never created to be by ourselves, right? And we talk about how there's going to be storms in our lives. There are going to be so many, we cannot count them. There will be so many storms in our lives, we can't count them all. And don't count them all. Count your blessings instead, right? Don't count all the storms because there will be so many. They come on like waves on the beach. Sometimes they're soft and they're gentle and they roll along and they spin back out. And sometimes they come crashing in with little to no room for you to even breathe in between them. Storms come, winds come and sweep us off our feet from the place that we thought we had a strong hold to the earth, and they knock us down into places and spaces we are not prepared to be in. But we do have Jesus, who is our ever-present Savior. And sometimes in the midst of storms, that's the one thing that grounds us, that holds us in place. I've been singing this song in my head the last couple of days, and I kicked myself when I realized we were not singing it today. Kicked myself. My own fault we're not singing it today. And so I'm gonna sing the words, or I'm gonna sort of sing the words, and then anyone can join in when I start if you know them, because someone's gonna know them. And the beginning of the song goes like this: if my heart is overwhelmed and I cannot hear your voice, I'll hold on to what is true, though I cannot see. If the storms of life come, and the road ahead gets steep, I will lift these hands in faith. I will believe. The storms of life are going to come. And we will be tossed to and fro. And like we heard from last week's reading from Luke 8, Jesus was with his disciples and they were out on the lake and he was taking a nap. He was probably tired and he probably really, really needed a nap. And a storm arose, probably much like the storms that I experienced when I was at Yellowstone, the ones my grandfather goes, there's a storm coming, and there's nothing you can do to change a storm coming. And the storm arose, and the boat became tossed about. There was wind, and there was rain, and Jesus slept. He just slept through a crazy storm. The disciples came, and they woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we will drown." And Jesus got up, probably groggy, tired, looking at each of them like, oh, come on, I needed a nap so bad. And he gave the command to the wind and the waves, and they stopped. And it became calm. And Jesus said to his followers, "Where is your faith?" We have a choice when the storms come. We can choose to go it alone. Do it. We have, you know, we've been taught how to be ever present, do our thing by ourselves, make it happen. I am strong. I don't need anyone. We can do it by ourselves. Or we can choose other ways, and we can ask Christ to guide us, to be the one who comes, because it's Christ is the only one who apparently can calm a storm. So far, I've tried many times to calm things, and it never really works. And in fact, my own life doesn't really work. So if the one thing we can hear in our scriptures is that Jesus can calm a storm, why would we not want Jesus to be in our back pocket at all times, or our heart? Why would we not go there first? Why would we not rely upon the fact that in all things and in all spaces, Christ is with us? And I'm not talking about that Christ is there to control every storm that comes your way, because it's not about changing the chaos so that it never happens, because that's not going to happen. Storms are going to come. But what does change is how you deal with the storm. What does change is that when the storm comes and you rely on Christ and you say, you know what, I've got a storm and it's a brewing and I can see it's coming and it's heading my way and it looks like it's going to be big, you can get underneath the tree, give it a big hug, and remember that there's something there who's going to walk with you and remind you that I am your ever steady present in your life. Always steady present. You can come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you peace. I will grant you the things that you need, which are peace in your heart and strength to go through the next day. And that's all you really need most days. Peace in your heart to have strength for the next day. Because the next day, guess what you'll get? Peace in your heart and strength for the next day. That's what you asked for over and over. That's what we get. And so while you're sitting in spaces and places that are chaotic, the things you cannot control in your life, which is, by the way, everything pretty much that you can't, you have hectic schedules and demands of family and friends and work and your own health, I just want to say this. Stop and lift your hands and say, no, not Calgon, take me away, but say, Jesus, I know you are with me and you will walk with me through every turn and every step. For my heart is weary, but your hands are great. And I ask for you for your peace and your strength today, right now, to get me to the next. And the storms will continue to come, but the peace is always in that midst, and it is yours to be had. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the New Creation Lutheran Church podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love for you to subscribe and share it with a friend. You're always welcome to join us for Sunday worship, offered live at our church, interactively on Zoom, and live streamed on our YouTube channel. All the details you need can be found at www.newcreationlutheranchurch.org. If you'd like to support our ministry, you can give through the links on our website or text the word GIVE to 844-703-9144. That's text GIVE to 844-703-9144. We're grateful to have you with us. See you next time.